Good evening. So if you have a Bible, please turn to 1 John and chapter 2, reading from verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather here tonight, and we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to bring these words of life to life in our hearts, in our lives, that you would bring sight to us tonight, to see things more clearly than we've ever seen before, that we would have communion with you this evening. Pray for every person here tonight that you would awaken their hunger and their thirst for you, and that you would help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title is The Hope of God's Children, the hope of your life, of my life. And as we look at this letter, we get a very big clue from the very first few lines of the whole letter. If you turn back with me to chapter 1, John says in chapter 2, in verse 2, the life appeared and we have seen it and we testify to it. So what the Apostle John is saying is, I have seen Jesus with my own eyes. I've seen him face to face. And the rest of the letter is John encouraging people who have not seen Jesus face to face that they can have this relationship with him. The hope of God's children is simply this, that we can see God face to face. Every single issue in your life, every single question on your heart, every single hope, ambition, dream, concern for the future is answered with this one hope, that you can see God face to face. That you can have that relationship with him. As we read the prayers of the Bible, we look at the Psalms, and in Psalm 27, the Psalm writer, he says, your face, Lord, I will seek. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. I'm seeking your face. Don't hide your face from me. And then there's prayers like, may the light of your face shine on my face. It's that sense that there's a connection between us and God which makes sense of everything else. And the question that I was asked this week was, can I have a personal relationship with God? And the answer is a resounding yes, you can, because the whole Bible is about that. We start with the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve have this close relationship with God, and then it breaks down through that famous sin, the fall of mankind. And what's the next thing that happens? The next thing that happens is that Adam and Eve are hiding from God's face. But he calls to them. He calls to them and he says, Adam, where are you? Because God still wants to have that face-to-face communion with them, even though they are not sure. And then there's Moses. Moses prays, Lord, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. But in Exodus 33, we read that no one can see the face of God and live. There's a great problem that there are sins separate us from God. And because he is holy and because we are not holy, that intimacy, that closeness is no longer possible. Big problem. But God still wants to reveal himself to Moses, so he shows Moses his back. That's progress. But then in Jesus, God comes to earth and dies on the cross in our place. He takes the punishment for our sins. Why? To restore us, to reconcile us to himself, to give us that close communion once again. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing about what life is all about, what life in the church is all about, he says it's all about love. It's all about love. And he says, if I speak with the tongues of angels, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I can climb the highest mountain, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. And he goes on to explain what this love is, this love which is so important to all relationships in life. But he finishes by saying, we don't see very clearly. We only see partially. Yes, we want to see more clearly, but we can't see it. But one day we will. One day we will see face to face. And when we see God face to face, then we will see what love is. Now we're just seeking by faith to understand it. But one day we'll see in front of us Jesus, God's Son. And our hearts will melt with adoration and wonder and praise. But John has had such a glimpse of this love. He's had such a glimpse of God that he can speak to us tonight. So I want to speak to you about what kind of relationship is this? This Christian life, what kind of relationship is it? And what kind of love is this? What kind of love is it based on? And what kind of hope is this that we can see and have that close relationship with him? And finishing off with a practical question, how do I know for sure that I have this? So what kind of relationship is this. Look with me again at 1 John chapter 2. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, I mean, if you're able to bring up the verses, Graham, that would be really helpful. 1, 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. That word continue is also translated remain. Continue in him, remain in him, abide in him. Famous teaching of Jesus in John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. Remain in me, continue in me, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what kind of relationship is this? Jesus is saying that the Christian life is a relationship of connection with God, a relationship of closeness. And if we seek to live the Christian life distant from God, then it is not a very fruitful Christian life. We can know even all the right answers, all the right doctrines. But if we are not connected to Jesus, we will not bear fruit. So it's a relationship of connection. How do we have that abiding? Yes, it's about allowing God's word to abide in us. It's about treasuring his word and reading his word. It's about prayer. It's about coming before him regularly in prayer. And when he speaks to us through his word, then we put it into practice, and our obedience is another way of building our closeness with him. What kind of relationship is this? It's a relationship of closeness, a relationship of abiding. But it's not a relationship that should be based on fear. John says here, we should be confident about our relationship with God, not fearful. When you think about God, do you think about a relationship of fear or a relationship of love? And it depends on how much you've read of the Bible. It depends on what you've listened to, the words you've taken in. I think certainly when I was growing up, I didn't always listen to everything that the preacher said, but whenever the subject of judgment came up, he had my attention. And I think I used to remember what he said about judgment much more than what the preacher said about love or grace. And so by the time I was in my mid-teens, I was absolutely convinced that God was real, that God had sent his son to die on the cross and that he was coming back again, but I wasn't looking forward to it. I want to ask you tonight, are you looking forward to the return of Jesus? Are you looking forward to meeting him face to face? If you are a Christian who has been forgiven and restored to God by the death of his son, you should be looking forward to him coming again. You should not be afraid of meeting him face to face. See, in 1 John 4, verse 17, it says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, God is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If you're thinking about the return of Christ and you're thinking about punishment, then you have not understood what God has done for you in sending his Son. But if you understand that God has sent his Son so that you will be saved from punishment, that you will not have to pay the price for your sins, that he paid that in your place, then you do not have to be afraid. And it's very liberating when you reach that point. What kind of relationship is this? It's one based not on fear. It's one not based on shame. When we've done things in our life that we're ashamed of, and we are not sure that we've been forgiven, then we hold our heads down, not up. Are you holding your head up, or are you looking down? Do you know that the things which you've done that you're not proud of, that you're ashamed of, that Christ has forgiven you? Have you come to him? Have you asked for his forgiveness? Because if you have, and you've trusted in his blood shed on the cross, then you should not be shameful. You should be unashamed as you approach him. That is the kind of relationship. It's a personal relationship. It's a father, son, and daughter relationship. This is the great truth of this passage. Is he speaks about this relationship between us and God as between a parent and a child. Can there be any more personal relationship than between a parent and a child? Is there anything that a parent would not do for a child? Perhaps you're a parent here tonight, or a grandparent, and your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson, they made mistakes, they went astray. Wouldn't you just want for them to come back home? Wouldn't you just want to help them? This is the picture that Jesus painted when he told the parable of the loving father in Luke chapter 15. What kind of relationship is this? It's the closest possible relationship as a parent to a child. Can you have a personal relationship with God? I think the Bible is very clear. Yes. Yes, yes. But there's a foundation upon which that yes is built. And that foundation is in chapter 3 and verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. It's such a momentous thing that God was able to turn around that huge problem that Moses wrestled with. That Moses wanted to have this close face-to-face relationship with God but couldn't because of sin. And God was able to fix that problem through sending his Son, Jesus. Have you ever wondered if it was an enthusiastic thing that God did in sending his Son to die for you and to die for me? It was when God sent his Son to die for us, it wasn't reluctant. When Jesus accepted the will of his Father to come and die for us, He was a volunteer. He was longing to do this. It says here that the Father has lavished his love upon us. have you really taken in that he loves you so much? It's very hard for me to explain it, but I pray tonight that God's Spirit will convince you that he did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. Just read with me for a moment in Romans chapter 8. It's the same point, but it's in different words. It's the Apostle Paul speaking in Romans 8. And perhaps with Paul's words, it will penetrate your hearts and you'll know just how much God loves you. In verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I would love to be able to convince you tonight how great is the love of God for you, how great is the love that sent Jesus to the cross. And that is something that you can appropriate personally into your life. But the truth is this, only the Spirit of God can reveal this to you. But the good news is this, the Spirit of God is active right now, whispering in your ear, God loves you. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you're saying, how can I have a more personal relationship with God? Yes, it is knowing this Holy Spirit that is in you. The Holy Spirit came into your life the moment you trusted in Christ. He's there. He's living in you. And he's speaking to you. If you are Christian tonight seeking to live a righteous life because Jesus is righteous. This is what 1 John 2 verse 29 says, that Jesus is righteous, and as we seek to live a righteous life, that shows that we are seeking to live in the family resemblance. It's showing that we're born of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, led to live a righteous life, then that is evidence. That is evidence of that relationship of love with the Father. But in verse 15, it says that God has done something. God has done something. He has chosen us. He has adopted us. I remember preaching on this once, and this woman came to me at the end of the service, and she said, all my life I felt inferior because I was adopted. And you showed me tonight that God has chosen me. He's chosen me. It's wonderful that we are born into a loving home and we have loving parents. But how much more wonderful it is when God, who knows everything about us, chooses us as his children. And that's what it tells us here, that we've been chosen by God, adopted into his family. The third evidence of this personal relationship with God is verse 16 in Romans 8. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. And by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. How do you pray to God? Do you pray in an impersonal way? Or do you pray to your Heavenly Father? You may have been taught as a child the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and you recite that, but you don't sense any relationship. Or do you go beyond that and you pour out your heart to your Father who loves you and who listens to you? Perhaps you have issues that you're facing in your life and you just go, oh Father, help me. Sometimes it's not even words. Sometimes it's tears. Sometimes it's groans within. And we know and we sense that God is listening. Well, if that is you, then you have a personal relationship with God because you call him Father. And fourthly, in verse 17 of Romans 8, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. There's a wonderful, wonderful future for us. We've been given a wonderful inheritance as his children. Do you know what the inheritance is? You might answer this. You might say, well, it's the fact that we don't stay dead, that we get resurrected from the dead, and that's certainly true. That we're given a new body, new physical body, that's certainly true. We get to live in a restored world, that's certainly true. But that's not the greatest thing of all. The greatest thing of all is God himself, that we will be able to have a face-to-face relationship with him. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and the Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. What's that reward? Well, it's not some pot of money that we're going to get. It's not even that he's going to give us everything we want in life. No, the reward is the relationship itself. The greatest reward is him. So what kind of relationship is it? It's personal, it's close, it's filial, it's a family relationship. What kind of love is this? It's sacrificial love, sending his only son to die on the cross for us. And what kind of hope is this? Back to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Moses could not see God face to face because he knew the sin in his life. Moses could not lead Israel to see to speak to God face to face because sin was a barrier. But the great hope is that we will see him as he is. We shall be like him. We don't know everything about that. There's so much that we don't know. There's so much we don't know about the future. But tonight, I want you to hold on to the things that we can say for certain. We can say for certain that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. We can say for certain that God has done everything possible for that relationship to come into being in sending his son. And we can say for certain that when Jesus comes back, we will be transformed. We will be transformed into his likeness. We will be loving just like Jesus, full of love, full of grace, full of integrity, full of truth. And that is a wonderful, wonderful truth. How can I know that I have this? Yes, people do have experiences. People can point to particular evenings or particular church services where these truths were made personal to them in their experience. And you may be here tonight saying, that hasn't happened to me. And all I would say to you is, if you trust in what Jesus has done for you, simply believe it and live in the light of it. And you will find that your experience will catch up with your faith. Don't sit there thinking, I'm waiting for the experience. Believe it and live by it. That's what I did. I heard the verse that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. I felt nothing. I believed it. I started living, believing it was true. I started worshiping God, believing that I belonged to Him. I started witnessing and telling people what God had done for me. I started seeking to live by His way, by His lordship. And yes, I've had many experiences since, sometimes with very long gaps in between. But the foundation is believing what God says in His word. So will you believe tonight that you can have a personal relationship with Him? Will you believe tonight that God has done everything in sending His Son so that you can have this relationship? Will you believe tonight that you cannot earn it, but you receive it as a gift? And will you start living in the light of it? Everyone who takes on board this message will be filled with joy. Joy inexpressible. Everyone who believes this message will live a life of love and will not look back with regret, but will look forward to that wonderful day when we will see Him face to face. Amen.